it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, well, the Royals got a much-needed win last night, one you have to have, and they probably still got to get on a little bit of a five-game winning streak, if we're being honest with ourselves at this point in time, but they got it done yesterday. They're trying for the split of the series tonight. It is a 6:15 first pitch here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's On Deck show is at 5 o'clock. It'll be Stephen Kolek making the start. He obviously has been very good since coming over, being acquired, not too bad at all. They will go up against Gavin Williams.
He's been really good
the
this
game
year.
The game also is on national TV tonight. Oh. On Big Fox.
Oh, Big Fox. Okay.
Competing with Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, and starting late. That's why the game is at 6:10 versus the games they had started at 5:40 earlier in this series. Obviously, I hope the Royals go on to win 10 games in a row. 100 RBI for Vinny last night. Not a small accomplishment considering the fact he would have been a 100 RBI guy last year had he stayed healthy. So, I mean, Vinny, for whatever it's worth, is still an RBI machine for this team. It's like the one thing on offense you can count on, generally speaking. Next up on What's Trending, cool to mention it, Thursday Night Football tonight, Commanders at Packers, battle of two 1-0 teams. Obviously, two 1-0 teams who do not have too much difficulty winning their first matchup. So it'll be Jaden Daniels and Jordan Love dueling it out tonight over on Thursday Night Football or on Amazon.
I'm excited for this
Amazon
one.
Prime.
Yeah,
I am too.
Of course. Yeah, Amazon
I usually
Prime.
Hate Thursday Night Football. I skip a lot of Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit on the national broadcast there. And we all know how good the Packers looked in week one. The Commanders didn't look great against the Giants, but they got it done. And so let's see if Commanders can hang with Green Bay tonight. I personally think they can, but we'll see. I'm definitely interested to look at Jaden Daniels against that defensive front that was so dominant against the Lions just less than a week ago.
Maybe in class like 5 minutes early, so make sure I'm on the couch for a while.
I forgot you. So you're – okay. You went from hating on Thursday Night Football to now you're thinking about canceling or ending class early.
I said 5 minutes. 5 minutes early.
Just so you can get
home. I'll
tell
you right now, if there's like 7 minutes left of class and we finish the lesson, what am I going to do? Start something up new? Just get out of here.
No, just get the hell out.
I am surprised.
It's not high school. Yeah. Just get out of here.
I thought Cody was going to be a stickler. Like, no. Ahem. You got to sit here all in awkward silence for another 5 minutes.
No.
Or here, listen to my catalog of songs.
You know what? We are doing editing. Should I show them a full edit of Pass Quintino?
Sure. Are you going to give them the advice that you gave us yesterday?
What advice? Oh, wait.
Cody gave us YouTube advice.
And what happens if you delete it?
Nah, they don't have to worry about that. And then that ended up getting us into a sheet conversation.
Well, it went a couple of different ways.
Elsewhere on What's Trending, Brock Purdy, 49ers quarterback, out 2 to 5 weeks with a turf toe variant, also dealing with a shoulder injury. They're already without George Kittle, who's on the IR. So it's going to be Mac Jones, the starting quarterback, on Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. The 49ers are still 3-point favorites, but Spencer Rattler, Mac Jones.
That's
what
disgusting.
A game.
That is gross, but for what it's worth, I believe in Kyle Shanahan so much, yeah. I actually think Mac Jones will look okay. I didn't say he'll look like a superstar. I actually think he'll look all right. For what it's worth, because of what I think Kyle Shanahan is as a coach, especially with quarterbacks. Next up on What Training, the NFL officially announced they're looking into the allegations made against Tyreek Hill in a court filing a couple of days ago. That's where his ex-wife had accused him of multiple incidents of domestic violence against him during the course of their or against her during the course of their relationship. The NFL obviously takes these allegations seriously, but you and I both know, Gold. Looking into them means they still won't do anything on the punishment end until there is legal stuff. So them looking into them is just, we'll do our research for when this eventually settles in court. I wouldn't be surprised to find out he misses games next year, that he's suspended for a portion.
I don't know what to make.
If he settles out of court.
We've gone through this so many times with allegations around him and others, but also, like, you know, what does the NFL decide to do? What are they able to find?
Tough.
What actually is true, what's not true. With him, it's been very, very complicated over his entire NFL career. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget our lunch partner, our friends over at Jefferson's. They've got their happy hour. It's going to save you some money. 7 days a week, enjoy half-off appetizers, half-off your bar tab at Jefferson's Lenexa and Jefferson's North Kansas City. Not to mention Mondays, all-day happy hour. They have those same great deals during reverse happy hour, 7 days a week. Jefferson's Wings, Burgers, Oysters, and how about today? How about we give you a $50 gift card? Caller number 9. How about that? I had to think about that for a second.
You just couldn't decide which one? That's like a classic radio. Caller 9.
Well, I was going to make Drew work and say 96, but that'd be mean. So I said
I'd
caller
9. I'd have to settle it like 5 times. Or 10 times.
Just keep hanging up on people, Drew.
913-586-7965. Caller number 9 will get a $50 gift card to Jefferson.
You can go check out some of those wings yourself. May I recommend the honey, the mango habanero?
That is your favorite.
Ooh, it is. I like sweet and spicy.
Give me a little honey barbecue.
Good combo.
Honey barbecue, and I'm happy.
That's fine, too. I've had those. They're also very good.
1 hour from now, or just under an hour now, I guess, Paul Charchian going to join us. We'll get some fancy football advice. Yes, I was chopped from our unofficial Cody and Gold
guillotine. That's tough. Week one.
Yeah. Yep. Not good. I'm alive in another one. But
I did put a pretty hefty bid in on Justin Jefferson.
Oh, you're taking everybody from my team. Okay.
Just the one.
Yep. You don't want anybody else that stuck
I could
for
be
me
for the right
one?
Price, I could be talked into Calvin Ridley. I was big into him going into the year, so I don't think I should abandon him yet.
Yeah. Yeah, best of luck to the listeners to knock out Cody and Drew the rest of the way.
Now you're rooting against us. I wasn't rooting against you in week one. I was surprised. You won it last year. That's, of course, how it works.
Of course.
You survived 16 straight weeks last year. Couldn't make it 17, unfortunately, as you get knocked out there.
No, wasn't great. Wasn't great. We'll get to all 32 here in about 8 minutes or so. But don't forget, we're live at Rally House, hanging out till 2 o'clock, the Barry Woods Crossing location, registering you to win a $250 gift card. You know where to go to get geared up for the Chiefs game on Sunday, whether you're talking your tailgate, whether you just want to get that new crisp jersey, that new, I'll say, T-shirt, because it's going to be a little warm on Sunday afternoon at Arrowhead.
Yeah, it's going to be warm this week, and summer's back. Fake fall's gone. We are here until at least it continues. But, yeah, why not come in and register for a chance at $250 in Rally House gift card? Obviously, if you're willing to come see us at the Barry Roads Crossing here until 2 o'clock, we'll take your registers. Let's talk a little bit about the Royals, though, who did survive last night. Come from behind victory. Vinny came through. Nick Lofton came through. They get the 4-3 win, chance for the split tonight against Cleveland. Look, I know some of you are going to say, the season's done. And I'm kind of on Vern's side a little bit that's like, you made it this long. It's now September 11th, and the Royals are still in the playoff hunt. They can still technically make the playoffs. I know it's a long shot now. It's probably 5%, 7%. They got to win 5 of the next 6 in a row, whatever it's got to be, in order to actually make the playoffs or stay in the playoff hunt. But what he said yesterday in our segment still hold to me, which was when he talked about the Royals, where they are this year considering the injuries, makes me feel better about 2026. And I know that that could be a trap because how they played last year made me feel better about 2025. And then all the injuries happened and they ran into trouble because I do truly still think that considering where the pitching is, knowing that they've had one of the best bullpens in baseball, one of the best starting staffs in baseball without all their starters, that they have the ammunition in the starting stuff to do with the one thing they have to do, add a bat. And I know that you're like, well, this is the worst offense in baseball. Is adding a bat enough? I'm still in the market of I'm going to have to bank on Carter Jensen and Jack Caglione for part of next year. I'm sorry. It's part of reality of where they're going to be in 2026. But knowing that they can overcome the starter stuff cold, I feel pretty good about next year.
I do if you believe they're going to use their strength of pitching depth
to get that bat.
To go get the bat. Because, yeah, it is incredible that they're still, quote-unquote, in it, despite having every single member of their starting rotation from opening day on the IL at one point, and like four of them on the IL as we speak today still. And that's a testament to pitching development, to making some very smart moves in season. I give them a lot of credit for that. I just hope that the fact that they are still in it, despite that they don't sit back and say, well, see, if everybody would have been healthy, we would have been just fine. I hope, and I don't think...
I don't know how you could watch the offense
and
I don't think that.
And I don't think that'll be the case. I say that because the best case and best path to still improving the offense in the outfield is going to be trading some of these pitchers or a pitcher in the offseason. The free agent outfielders that are currently available, that we project to be available...
It's not a good
not
crop.
Great. Not great. So to me, you're really only, unfortunately, out of the starting pitching depth you have, though, there's still only a couple that I think you can trade that actually bring anything back. Like,
Bubich.
You can't, to me, I don't think you can trade Bubich with the injury. Like, you're not getting, I mean, you're better off seeing where you're at halfway through next season.
Okay.
And I don't think I can trade him anymore. Michael Wacha, you're not getting enough back. And that's not a shot. He's been very good.
Cole Reagan's some of the things that can be
Cole Reagan's
you
been
really
hurt
move him
most
so
of the
cheap.
Year. You're down to being on board with trading like a Noah Cameron. And I know he's been awesome, and he's a local kid, but he might bring back, because of the years of control, and he's got like 5 or 6 still years of control, I think.
Yeah.
He might bring back more than some of these other guys, and so that's a tough pill to swallow. But if you want this outfield to get better, I think it's going to require you parting ways with one or two of these pitchers and or a Blake Mitchell type in your system to go get an outfielder that actually is a game changer. Yeah, they could trade a different pitcher and get another outfielder. Sure, there's somebody out there. But I'm talking about getting somebody that can actually
has an impact.
Have a massive impact in the 2026 season.
I'm looking at the free agents. It's dark. Oh, it's dark for this upcoming offseason. So yeah, it is going to require a trade. This all goes back to an early season conversation too. Because of this slump again that they're in right now offensively, do you think that they will visit the Zumwalt conversation?
They should. I hope they do.
I don't think you've changed your opinion on that. Stopped talking about it because it obviously wasn't going to go anywhere.
Right. They clearly were never going to make that change in season, so there was no reason to continue to keep bringing it up. No, I think that is whether this team wins 10 in a row and makes the playoffs or loses 10 in a row and firmly doesn't make the playoffs. That, to me, is something that I think they absolutely have to address in the offseason. Absolutely. And I just think based off of production, even last year when they made the playoffs, we went through this whole entire conversation earlier in the year. It's not as if last year they were a top offense and then you're like, oh, you know what, just some bad year. With him and that hitting staff in place, they, even in the years where they were good last year, 1 year, they weren't a top offense or anything like that. They were very average. And then the other years, it's been either bottom half or this year, like historically bad for the first
it's been one of the worst offenses in the Royals team in the last 10 or 15 years, which is crazy because they have 100 RBI guy in Vinny, Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez. Mikel Garcia is having a career year. And when I start telling you all that, I'm like, wait, just rewind for me for a minute. That's one of the worst offenses in Major League Baseball? How? And you're like, it was just only one bad month of Vinny. The rest has been really good. Mikel's been good the whole year. I understand Salvi's had a couple of bad months mixed in with some regular Salvador Perez where he was white hot during that stretch. And Bobby has still been one of the 5 most productive offensive players in baseball. And like so much of it is what our problem is we talk about. It's 5 through 9. It's the rest of it. But here's the truth. I think Jack Caglione's spot in the lineup is set for next year. I could argue that Kyle Isbell's spot is probably going to be locked.
But how many of these?
Only looking for one everyday player.
I agree. There's not going to be much roster turnover, most likely, but that doesn't mean there aren't a lot of question marks with guys that are still Caglione. I still think very highly.
That's a complete unknown.
I still think very highly of what his career can be, but he's a question mark heading into next
season.
Absolutely. Carter Jensen's an unknown, a question mark heading into next season. You know, there's the Jonathan India second base thing is also a question mark heading into next season as well. Michael Massey I don't know what his future looks like.
India is another guy who's locked into the lineup most likely for next year.
But still a question, like, was this just a terrible season or is this who he is?
I think he just is who he is.
Worse than even what he was as a Reds player, though.
Yeah, a little bit for a stretch.
In some areas.
Now it's kind of stabilized at least a little bit. I think the India they've gotten pretty much after the first 60 games is pretty much Jonathan India in his career. Which is not – look, they're lucky Mikel Garcia is having the kind of year that allows them to have him closer to the top of the order.
Is this who Mikel Garcia is going to be moving forward,
though? That is maybe way bigger question for me than India.
I mean
– is can Mikel Garcia repeat this year twice? That is a very real question, and I think more than fair to ask. He has made serious suggestions. There's actually just a write-up on him.
Oh, really?
Maybe Mark DeRosa was getting into it, spoke to him a little bit, and he did an interview on MLB Network, and he was talking about the things he actually did in order to do it. He's always had talent. His rookie year kind of looked like he could turn into this player. Then he backslid a little bit, had that like traditional sophomore slump, and came back around on it. So I don't know, man. I hope that they win their next 5 or 6 in a row in that Mariners series.
Yeah.
I guess 4 in a row, right? 3 against Philly, 1 tonight against the Guardians. And then they've won 5 games in a row going into the Mariners series. We'll then have juice. But the Rangers are closer in their division, like at the top, to win their division than the Royals are to the wild card spot now. Rangers are only 2.5 or game and a half back, 2.5, I think, back of the division-leading Astros right now. And the Royals are still 4 games back of a playoff spot. So it's asking a lot. I'm still tuned in every night. I'm still interested to see if they're going to find a way to win. I still woke up this morning and checked the Mariners score. Sad to see that the Cardinals could do it.
That was the Mikel song. That was last year.
That was last year. Since then, you know.
Yeah.
No.
I'm kidding. I was jealous.
The song did not come out
a year
this
later,
year.
Huh?
Yeah, the song did not come out. All right, let's get to all 32 guys and get back into the NFL a little bit. We earlier in the show were discussing the teams that were 0-2. You know, there are multiple teams, but the big names. Obviously, there's half the league is 0-1. So teams that are trying to avoid going 0-2, I should say. I phrased that wrong. Lions trying to avoid 0-2. Chiefs, Ravens, and we were going through like who needs it more. I could see things turning quickly, not as in somebody's getting fired, but quickly on Dan Campbell as a fan base and fan sentiment around the NFL. If the Lions, who did not look good at all against the Packers, if they at home lose to Caleb Williams and the Bears, who just had that performance against the Vikings in the second half, and it's Ben Johnson, the old OC, goes in and beats Dan Campbell, I could see like the aura around Dan Campbell changing just like that.
It's crazy, though. He just changed their entire culture as a team.
He shouldn't be fired. Nobody's saying like that.
No, I know.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm saying the idea of like, oh, my gosh, this guy's the most amazing thing ever. He's super aggressive and all this kind of stuff. I could see that changing in a hurry. I think the Lions will win this weekend. I don't know if they'll cover. But if the Lions were to lose at home to the Bears, I could see people starting to like question him because Ben Johnson is in Chicago, and if Ben Johnson, his OC, comes in and beats him, and his offense looks bad for two straight weeks, people are going to say, whoa, 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 Ben Johnson was the mastermind here.
It's funny the timing and the way things change, and I know that there's a reason why, that being better at the end of the game is more important. I could make a very strong argument that Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy had very similar games. They both were pretty bad to pedestrian in an entire half, and both looked excellent in the other half in which they did not look
mediocre. But when it mattered most, who went out won a game?
I know. But that's kind of why I like the Bears this weekend.
Okay, to win outright or just to cover?
Or at least to cover.
Okay.
But maybe to win in the sense that I think Caleb Williams played really good football for a half.
Okay.
And it kind of got lost because of the way things went south, and then J.J. McCarthy overshadowed him because he played great in the second half and for obvious reasons. I'm going to stick to quarterback for mine as well here on All 32. I'll tell you right now, the entire offseason, we made a very big point, and I think that this still stands. The Broncos, division, Super Bowl, look how good they could be. All of those hopes, gold, relied on one very important thing. Bo Nix getting better. And you know what Bo Nix looked like in that last game? The same. So mediocre. Impossibly average. The same as, the 8th to 16th best quarterbacks always fall into this range of, yeah, you all are about the same. Sure, you can have a great game, play well, do all this other stuff. You're not a needle mover enough for me to move you into the conversation unless every other part of their stuff. Bo Nix looks the same. And look, it's one game, but he does not look like he got better in the offseason.
It is one game. I don't think they should be worried about him, but I will say about the ceiling stuff for him. You know, this is why, as a Chiefs fan, if you're looking at the quarterbacks in your division, Bo Nix is probably going to be a starter for 10 years in this league at least. His ceiling's not high enough to ever be in the same realm as Mahomes, Burrow, Jackson, and Allen, and they're in a chance to win a Super Bowl, in my opinion. So his floor is very high, and what we saw last year, though, might be the high watermark, and that means they're going to win 10 and 11 games a lot, especially when he has a great defense. They're going to be a problem. But as
once
a threat,
he gets paid,
for,
the defense
threat for a Super
be
Bowl,
harder.
And I'm not even basing that off of last week. That's just my stance on Bo Nix in general. But yeah, they weren't impressive against Tennessee.
He didn't look like a guy who got better in the offseason, I'll say.
Drew?
So for mine, I'm going to go back to the NFC North side of thing, or the old NFC North, now AFC East. Aaron Glenn. We talked about Dan Campbell and losing Aaron Glenn. It feels like, I don't know if you guys watched any of the game on Sunday. It was one of the it was the only local one actually that was on here on CBS in Kansas City. It feels like Aaron Glenn is the guy in New York. I don't know if he's going to turn it around this year, but it feels like in terms of a culture reset, it feels like he's the right coach for that team and for those players, and I'm excited to see how things continue to go this year and what the turnaround is. Like, he was fired up on the sideline, high-fiving guys. Like, it feels like he's resetting that culture where Robert Saleh had things going one way, or maybe he didn't really have control, where Aaron Glenn is, he's the top of everything. Everything goes through Aaron Glenn. If you want something done, Aaron Glenn's the guy. It's not relying on Aaron Rodgers or anything like that. Like, he's reset that culture where I think it'll be interesting to follow over this year going into next.
definitely no question who's in charge. I agree with you. You know, that
this looked great.
Aaron Glenn, it is his show. He's running this team. He also, you know, a lot of I have a few friends that are Jets fans, and they were saying they were happy that the kid that fumbled that punt return or whatever that helped Pittsburgh end up winning.
Yeah, he got cut.
Xavier Gibson or whatever. Yeah, they held him accountable. They moved on from him. Like, fans loved seeing that. Not that you want someone to lose their job, but like, no, there are consequences for you not doing your job, and that wasn't the accountability that they saw maybe from the prior regime. So I'm with you. I still don't think they're going to be good this year, and Justin Fields, that might end up being his best game he plays all year.
Yeah, right.
But we already saw it maybe. But in terms of accountability, in terms of like, hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm in charge. I look like we are a competent operation on Sundays. That, to me, is what Aaron Glenn has shown already, yes.
Sure felt like they missed him to Detroit, probably more than anything.
We're going to find out this week on Detroit, Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, and if Dan Campbell can't get that thing revved up again.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they were such a
good
team
last year. 1 week.
Week one is a liar. It's a huge, huge, huge liar. Don't forget, we're out here at Rally House up at Barry Woods Crossing, where you have a chance to register to win a $250 gift card thanks to Rally House, so you can get geared up. The best place to get geared up for Chiefs games is Rally House. It's the only place where you can count on this large of a selection of merchandise. Look for a new jersey to kick off this season. Maybe you want a t-shirt, probably for this Sunday. Rally House has it, even custom jerseys as well, either at the shop where we are now or online at rallyhousekc.com.
Up next, if you missed it, Gronk was speaking to Kay Adams. We'll tell you what he had to say about this year's Chiefs team. A lot of people disagree, including Tyron Matthew and Danan Hughes, who joined us earlier today. Plus, I guess, yes, I'll give you an update on the sheets from yesterday. Back here on Cody and Gold, we'll get to the random question of the day in about 8 minutes or so. Also, at 1 o'clock, Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com will get us set for fantasy football and talk about maybe that surprise of week one, Daniel Jones. Maybe that would be the biggest surprise in week one from a fantasy football perspective. And also, how do you navigate these injuries for the 49ers with Purdy being out? Is there anybody else there? And then we'll also ask about the Chiefs offense a little bit. Xavier Worthy out, Rashee Rice out. Does that change how you start or don't start Patrick Mahomes, even in a game like this on Sunday, from a fantasy football perspective? I can just imagine somebody just turning on their car and all they heard was the 2 seconds where I said, should they start Patrick Mahomes on Sunday? And they're like, what the heck is this guy talking about?
No, no, no. Fantasy football. Uh-huh. Yes. Slightly yes. Different than you feel comfortable saying the Chiefs should stick with Patrick
Garner
Mahomes.
Minshew, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a conversation to be had, clearly.
Until all the wide receivers are back, you know what? Let's just go to the backup.
Don't forget, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount. Plus, stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So you heard Tyron Matthew and Danan Hughes, when they joined us earlier today, mention they both disagreed firmly with what Rob Gronkowski had to say yesterday on Up and Adams over on FanDuel TV. I want to play that again because I think what he said is what nationally will be the entire conversation Monday if the Chiefs lose. Here's what he said.
What I was surprised about is when things aren't going their way, as you can see, when they start struggling a little bit, they start yelling at each other. Their blame game starts going on.
Yeah,
you can see it on
that?
The sidelines. And that's not a good situation. I mean, you want to come together when you're down, when things aren't going your way, and you want to come together to figure out why, you know, everything's not going the way it needs to go. So to see them starting to point fingers is not a good sign. They got to, you know, get incorporated on and get on the same page and not be blaming others. Remember Mike Tyson versus Buster Douglas, and Buster Douglas finally beat the crap out of Mike Tyson and made Mike Tyson not invincible anymore? Well, this is kind of the same situation. The Philadelphia Eagles opened the floodgates last year in the Super Bowl versus the Kansas City Chiefs, like, hey, we're not afraid of this super, you know, of this super team, Kansas City Chiefs, that are very, very well known. I feel like a lot of teams last year had that fear. Oh, I can't swing on the Chiefs. We can't give them our best shot because they're so well known and everyone is talking about them. So the Philadelphia Eagles punched him in the face. The Chiefs didn't know how to react to that because no one else was doing that. Well, going into this year now, the Los Angeles Chargers punched him in the face. The Chiefs were like, whoa, they're coming at us. How do we react? Well, they didn't know how to react because no one was doing that before. So the Philadelphia Eagles opened that floodgate of, hey, if you punch these guys in the face, you take it to them, you come out swinging, they're going to fold and they're not going to be the team that you've been seeing all last year.
So that was Gronk yesterday. I disagree with quite a bit what he had to say. I think the Chiefs actually bounced back after getting punched in the mouth by the Chargers. I think that's exactly what they did. It's why they had a chance to still win in the second half. The fact that they scored on five of their final drives, so the last five drives of that game, I disagree entirely. Now, I think the notion of being afraid of the Chiefs or the boogeyman of the league kind of thing, I think if they were to lose on Sunday, I do agree that would happen if they lose on Sunday. That's how maybe the narrative would be and teams would view them. But the arguing stuff, come on, Gronk. You were part of a team that numerous times when you were winning and when you were losing, that Tom Brady or him himself, there would be plenty of arguments on the sideline. This one I told you, I'm not even as concerned about as other stuff that would have happened on the Chiefs sideline years ago. This was on the field right after a play that ended the game, essentially. Drew Tranquil was barking at Chris Jones because Chris didn't do his job, and Chris acknowledged it after. There wasn't shoving. There wasn't a wide receiver complaining to Andy Reid like Malik Nabers was complaining to Brian Daboll about not getting the ball. That's the kind of stuff that's more problematic. I think Gronk is way off base on that. The only part I agree with is that teams, if they start 0-2, will not view them the same way.
Yeah, I think that that's accurate. I think it's been an unfair way that we've looked at this or that the league looks at this across the board. And it's just inaccurate. I just don't think that this is the way that this thing often happens, and they're looking at it wrong. That's the truth. I just think that they're looking at it wrong. We'll figure out which way it goes from there, but still, I think the Chiefs are more than capable of beating the Eagles this week, and then the whole narrative shifts anyway.
We'll talk more about this at 1 o'clock. We actually had some miscommunication on our part here. We apologize. So let's actually have some fantasy football discussion now, Drew. I believe Charge is over on the hotline for us as well, or chiming in on our line. Okay, let me know when we have him, but we had a little miscommunication there on our part of timing. We'll talk some fantasy football with him, and then we can talk more about Gronk. The text line, as you can imagine, not happy with Gronk's comments. And I get it. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's just disingenuous. That's a huge part of it, Gold. It's not accurate. And we will get back to those thoughts, obviously, after we get to talking a little fantasy football with Paul Charchi in here in just a few minutes over at guillotineleagues.com. How do you think he's going to feel, Gold, that he finds out that you got knocked out?
Oh, he's going to give me a hard time. Now, I am alive in another one still. Okay? All right? The one that I drafted Rashee Rice prior to the suspension. I'm still alive. I thought that was the one that was going to knock me out.
Yeah. When I said you shouldn't have drafted Rashee, in my head, that must have been the team that got eliminated for you, Gold. Mm-hmm. I looked at it wrong, and, you know, sometimes that happens, at least on the other end. So we'll keep talking a little bit about the Chiefs for now, and then we'll get Paul Charchi on in just a couple of minutes over at guillotineleagues.com. But, Gold, look, I just do not, and I do not agree with the idea that somehow everybody's figured out the Chiefs in this. And you remember, right? You remember what it was like to be a fan during the Patriots era? Do you at any point remember people just being like, well, I don't take the Patriots serious anymore? Because what? They lost a couple of games in a row, lost an early playoff game, didn't win a Super Bowl for a decade. No, people still took them incredibly seriously, and it was a completely different conversation going in there. And so when it looks like that, I just do not understand this idea that somehow they figured it all out and we're moving towards that. It doesn't make any sense to me. Unless you think I'm missing something.
No, I told you. I mean,
Gronk.
Gronk, I think this is also just Gronk being Gronk and trying to also continue to get some attention. But let's talk a little fantasy football with our guy Paul Charchian over at guillotineleagues.com. He joins us each and every Thursday throughout the football season, and he's brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Charge, the guys are giving me a hard time because after winning our listener guillotine last year, I was chopped in week number one.
Oh, no.
Yep.
And he didn't even take any of the, like, really troubled players.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, look, I had
so
Jefferson.
You can't blame Xavier Worthy for this.
No, I had Jefferson. I had Tua. I had Kenneth Walker. Those are the two killers. And wow. Then Tyreek Hill as well.
Church, asking for a friend, what was the appropriate amount to bid on Justin Jefferson in week one of a guillotine league? Because I bid heavy.
I just philosophically, you got $1,000 to last you all year. I do not bid more than about $200 on anybody because there's so much season left and I'm going to need that money later. And so I just, that's about my cap, and Justin Jefferson would be about at the cap. JJ McCarthy looked pretty good once he settled in on Monday night, set a bunch of first start NFL records, all time records. And, you know, Jefferson still feels very safe. So yeah, I'd have bid right around that $200 cap. So what did you bid?
Oh, I was in the closer to $300 range, which is way more than I normally bid to, but it's Justin Jefferson. I figured that's the kind of player I'll be bidding on at the end of this season if I'm still alive anyway, so I kind of want him on my team now.
Yeah, and so then you get to start him for the next, you know, dozen weeks before you might have another crack at getting him. So I can understand that. It's all about need. If you didn't need him now, then that's a lot of money to spend. But if you had Xavier Worthy, then that's the kind of move you've got to make. And you know, because you can't go to war. Our benches are so thin this time of year with 17 teams left in the league. Everybody's backups suck. So, you lose like Xavier Worthy. You know, you need somebody who can step in.
Charge, that's exactly why I only have one guillotine league left, and I drafted Rashee Rice before the suspension, and so I can't believe I made it out of week one. So I had to spend $290 on A.J. Brown. I couldn't help myself.
Oh, boy. And see, with A.J. Brown. Not to derail this conversation, but
yeah.
A.J. Brown, that offense is so good for the Eagles, and touchdowns can come through six different guys. Mm-hmm, plays can come through six different guys. Last week on Thursday, he had a one-catch, 8-yard performance.
Right.
And it was
right
at the very end of the game. But the thing is, he did that three different times last year where he had one or two catches for 20 or fewer yards. And so he just has some of these games where just the offense doesn't flow through him, and A.J. Brown just gives you a stone-cold dud.
Had to do it, though, I feel like. Now, out of week one, Charge, biggest surprise was who?
Didn't see it coming. We call it a biggest surprise. Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
The second highest scoring fantasy quarterback.
Who could have seen it coming?
Wow. I undrafted in most fantasy leagues. I'm watching the Colts game. Alex and Cody, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Suddenly the Colts have got a lot of receiving weapons. They've got Michael Pittman and Josh Downs and downfield bombs to Alec Pierce and to Donnie Mitchell. And then there's Tyler Warren. In his first ever NFL game, they're using Tyler Warren, tight end, like in his prime Tony Gonzalez. 9 targets, 52 air yards to Tyler Warren. Clearly, Shane Steichen has got total faith in Warren, and he looks like a potential fantasy league winner kind of player. The only catch is, and tell me if you agree, my worry about Indy rolling over Miami is that Miami's totally broken. And this could be like last year, week one, New Orleans put up 47 points on the defense that ended up being the league's worst, Carolina. And maybe everything just came a little too easy for Indy last week.
Church, what about the 49ers? Brock Purdy now missing 2 to 5 weeks. No Kittle. So we know you're still going to play Christian McCaffrey. That's life. Am I crazy for just believing in Kyle Shanahan enough that I think Mac Jones won't be all that bad? Like, if I liked Ricky Pearsall before, I still like playing Ricky Pearsall now. I don't know if I'm alone on that.
I'm still starting Ricky Pearsall, but it ends there. That's it.
Okay.
Juwan Jennings dinged up. He's got a shoulder. He came in with a quad. I just, you know what? Or a calf. I'm out on Jennings. Pearsall's the one guy. Sophomore first rounder. Had a nice game Sunday, 108 yards. Get this on Pearsall. Average pass attempt, 21 yards.
Ooh, I like that.
To Pearsall. Oh, we love that. That is how you get paid in fantasy football, is repeated long pass attempts. That's fantastic. The catch, as you mentioned, though, Mac Jones. So it's the Saints coming up, and so you're going to feel like, hey, it's the Saints. This is going to be a great opportunity. Even Mac Jones can succeed. But let me note this. The Saints just held Kyler Murray to 163 passing yards, and the Cardinals' game plan looked like, for most of this game, it was just all short dump-off stuff from Murray, and then just wait for Spencer Rattler to give away the game. And that's much of how the Cardinals ended up winning, although it was really close, and Rattler actually wasn't horrible. Mac Jones has never been a fantasy box score producer. Last year, seven games with Jacksonville, which I'm sure you remember every play of, because you're not watching Mac Jones. Jacksonville games are awesome. That's really a good time. 0.8 touchdown passes per game in his seven starts last year.
We're talking to Paul Charchin of GuillotineLeagues.com. All right, how about in New York? You know, the Jets end up losing to Pittsburgh, but Aaron Rodgers looks great, obviously, on the Pittsburgh side, statistically at least. And then Justin Fields, I think he was another one of the big quarterback surprises.
For sure. On this very show last week, I said I am very nervous about Justin Fields in this start because he wasn't going to have Elijah Vera Tucker. You've got TJ Watt coming after him. You've got a good Pittsburgh defense. They didn't allow any rushing quarterbacks last year. And like all these things working against him. And Justin Fields went out and played arguably the best game of his entire career. He is the number two graded Pro Football Focus passer from week one. Passer. For Justin Fields, super weird, right? Only eight incompletions. He's always been way better in fantasy than reality because of his rushing. But what if he's going to develop into a passer as well? I mean, Fields, right now, he's my number nine ranked quarterback this week against Buffalo. I had it like 19th last week. So pushed him way up against Buffalo. Probably Buffalo's going to score a bunch of points. Justin Fields is going to have to throw. Maybe we get some good things out of him this week. Maybe matchup proof.
I know we're going to talk about the matchup tonight here in just a second, but last question I think that surprised fantasy owners. Is Zach Charbonnet the starter? Because we didn't draft it that way. It was drafted opposite pretty much in every league I was in. Charbonnet was not the guy who went first. Kenneth Walker was. But if that first game is any indication, Kenneth Walker's on the outs.
No, we got a problem brewing over here because it was a 50-50 timeshare in Seattle. And here's the problem is they're both good. I mean, Kenneth Walker, when he's healthy, is really good. Zach Charbonnet has developed into a really good running back. Get this. They ran the ball 10 times and 11 times. They had almost the same snap count, and it actually leaned a little bit. Charbonnet had a few more snaps. Walker got a couple extra passes that Charbonnet didn't get. So in totality, it all evened out. Now, here's the really big indicator, I think, from a fantasy perspective. Charbonnet, two carries from inside the 5-yard line. Walker didn't get any. Those are the easiest touchdowns in football, are those goal line rushes. And if Charbonnet's going to be the guy, that is a real problem for Kenneth Walker. If you drafted Kenneth Walker, you might want to get out right now.
What about locally here? We saw Mahomes have to try to do Herculean things against the Chargers. From a fantasy football perspective, no Worthy now. We know no Rice. A lot of people on the text line are asking whether or not they should start him this week.
Because one way or another, he generally finds his way to solid box scores. And by the way, we get plenty of things wrong on this segment. Like we just fessed up to our Justin Fields take last week. Last week at this time, I was talking about Hollywood Brown, that he was going to be the big beneficiary here in this offense. And I feel pretty good about that. Everybody swooped him up if he was available in leagues at this point. And I believe he remains startable in this offense. It feels like that passing offense now really going through him. Obviously, 16 targets is absurd, and that was not going to happen again.
That seems high.
But even Juju Smith-Schuster, five catches on five targets for 55 yards. In Guillotine, five catches, 55 yards. That's 10 points. And at this stage of the season, that is a win. And so I believe Brown right now, I've got Brown way up at wide receiver 28 this week. So I think there's a very nice opportunity for him this week. And I'm playing him. Kelsey's the guy that I'm watching closely. He's got the touchdown here, so people aren't in panic mode. But I didn't care. I didn't love the usage and the low volume from Kelsey. Tell me what you guys think.
You are Kelsey's harshest critic, Charge. I swear, you know?
I was surprised.
Harshest critic.
Most chopped tight end in Guillotine Leagues last year.
Yeah.
Travis Kelsey. We just want to get some consistency going back there. Okay, how about this? Appropriate level of concern for Isaiah Pacheco. I'm getting this question all the time. And to me, it feels pretty high. What do you think?
Well, he's clearly a top back. Our thing is, are they ever willing to run the ball enough? And they only got five touches. They only ran the ball 11 times. But you don't get any explosive plays from Pacheco. That just doesn't happen in this run game whatsoever. And we had some numbers earlier in the week we were talking about. I mean, I think there's been in the last 400 carries or 300 carries, there's been two plays over 20 yards in the run game or something.
What? Yeah. Oh, my. That's it. That's awful. That is awful.
Mahomes probably has more 20-plus yard plays than that in the run.
He's for sure. Got to, mm-hmm. right? He scrambles for 20. Feels like he scrambles for 20 yards almost every game. I wanted to see, like, the patented Isaiah Pacheco, the hard running, the power stuff where he's just punishing defenders. That's what we're used to seeing. And I didn't quite see the explosiveness I wanted. But, again, only 5 carries, small sample mm-hmm. size. And why is Kareem Hunt on the field? He brings nothing to the table. What are we doing giving him the same number of carries as Pacheco? I don't understand.
I'm with you.
Last question I have for you, Charge, is something we talked about last week, so I wanted to follow up. We were both big Matthew Golden believers. Tonight, yes. for the Packers, is he back in play? I've got him, but it's like I'm between him or you know, R.J. Harvey or some other guys. What do we do about Matthew Golden?
Yeah, I'm nervous here. So he was the star of preseason and training camp, first-round pick for the Packers, and they got all these injuries, and everybody felt like Golden was going to hit the ground running like Amika Ibuka did in Tampa, that there would be the opportunity here. But as it turned out in week one, Matthew Golden was only on the field for 23 snaps, and he only ran 18 routes. And granted, it was a blowout win, so they didn't really need to pass a lot in this game, and maybe that's part of it. But this looks like we're right back to the frustrating wide receiver usage the Packers have given us for years, where there's nobody that really steps up. Only one receiver ran half of the team's route, and that's Romeo Doubs, and he had one more route than half. That's it. And that's Doubs. Jaden Reed is playing with a Jones fracture in his foot. His pregame morphine drip must look like Niagara Falls to play through that. And there he is out there running, and he's getting just as much time as Matthew Golden. So this thing is super frustrating, and it might turn out that the right answer among these Packers wide receivers is Tyler Kraft.
Yeah. He had the nice touchdown. That was a great pass.
He did. That was a great pass, wasn't it? Oh, beautiful. Cutting with – he had to hit a window. He threw – Love released that ball and that touchdown to Kraft before Kraft had made his break, and he does his in route, and then Love put it – because Kraft is so tall – he put it up in a way where only Kraft could go get the ball. Oh, that was – Love looked real – I thought Love looked very poised in that game.
Charge, appreciate it as always, man. We'll check with you next Thursday at 12:30. Apologies on that. Thanks, man.
No problem. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
There you go. Charge joins us thanks to Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Yeah, the fantasy football end on Pacheco, if you have –
didn't look good in week one.
No, the question is more that will they give him enough carries? Like, I don't think it was like, oh, my gosh, you watched him and there's just nothing there. It's just – does he get enough carries now, I guess,
and the vision issue still
exists. But you knew that when you drafted him.
No, I know.
You know? You knew that when you drafted him as far as fantasy football-wise for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll do a random question next hour. Obviously, we moved some things around real quick. Multiple people have texted in, and I teased it way too many times this hour, and it's not that big
Sheets.
Of a deal. Yes, I did get the sheets that I ordered
delivered?
After you guys shamed me into ordering multiple sets of sheets.
Yeah.
I did talk to some other people, both friends and family, and some of them also only have 2 sheet sets.
Wait,
not
well,
3 or 4.
Oh, but 2.
Some. Not all, though. Not
Ooh,
all.
You found somebody who only had one?
I
pulled the group?
I pulled people. There were other people that only had one. So now I bought a brand new set of sheets, I must say. So then I got them last night from Amazon. I put them in the washer real quick because I'm not going to wear that or put them on the bed right
no,
out.
No, that's
so,
crazy.
So I went through the washer. I put them on the bed before I went. Very comfortable.
Good
nice.
Sheet.
Little bamboo. Yeah, very
yeah.
comfortable. But you're telling me basically I need to go and now order a second set of
That's
those.
Correct.
Silk.
Or
Silk.
you could use your old set as your backup for now. That's
but
okay.
now I feel like I want to have Matt. I want to have the same sheet.
Oh, I see. You can have 2 different kinds of sheets.
You got to get a silk sheet set.
Drew, the silk. Drew's talking about sliding off his bed.
Like, it's an experience.
He's got like silk and in oil all over his bed and body. It sounds like.
I have oil.
I was surprised I didn't find out he had a water bed.
Be honest. Did you have a waterbed as a kid?
Me?
Well, both of you.
No, my parents
True?
Did,
my parents?
Not me.
No way.
My parents had a waterbed, but not me.
Yes. Yes.
One of my good friends growing up, childhood friends, had a waterbed.
Yeah, I think somebody I knew growing up had one as well.
Whenever my parents were ever like out of town, or if they were like going to be back, like if they went out on like a date night and we were being babysat or whatever the case was, and it's like,
good
I
job.
Need to go, like, I need to take a nap, or I'm taking, you know, I'm sleeping in the waterbed for sure.
Why did they stop making them? Was it insurance reasons, or did they just decide those beds suck and we'd all rather have memory foam? Can you buy a water bed?
I think you can still buy a high-end version of a water bed if you really wanted one.
No, I don't really want one.
I'm going to Google it right now, actually.
I mean, wouldn't one of those eventually leak or pop?
I'm assuming it's an insurance-related issue.
All of a sudden,
they're not going to insure me.
Gallons of water all over your house. I don't know. You can look it up during the break. Up next, let's talk a little bit more about two players who are not with the Chiefs, who fared well in Week 1. We'll also talk a little more about what happens if the Chiefs lose on Sunday.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.